A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
September 19th, 2024. The Astros lost 2 of 3 to the Padres in San Diego. They're back at the Juice Box tonight against the Angels. 4-0, they lose yesterday. It's a game where Fromber pitched well. He gives up a homer. The offense doesn't show up. Yada, 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 Joe.
Yep, that's yada, yada, yada. That's how I feel, too. They got dominated in yesterday's game, but Fromber was excellent.
I like seeing that, at least.
Yeah, you can't ignore that. I mean, it was an excellently pitched game on both sides. Dylan Cease was electric, though, in yesterday's game, and the lineup felt like they had no prayer. Like, they had no shot yesterday to win that game.
Yeah, it's frustrating that this seems to happen like once or twice a week where the offense appears completely listless. But hey, could be worse. You could be the Seattle Mariners, and we're just going to shift our attention to them because we don't want to talk about the Astros loss yesterday. We want to talk about how the Mariners found yet another way to poop their pants and give the Astros a 5-game lead in the American League West.
Mariners 2-2. So look out, the bat almost hit Julio. And Julio's got to get back to the bag. Oh, my goodness! Oh! Two incredibly bad base running mistakes by the Mariners back-to-back nights.
Oh, you'd love to see it.
I mean, what a way to lose a baseball game.
I mean, at least in the game that the Yankees smoked the Mariners Tuesday, it was 11-2 at the end. But this one's in extra innings, and Julio Rodriguez is on third base. A bat comes flying at him. He ducks, but he never goes back to third.
It's like he just didn't realize the... I don't know. Because I get it. I get the first part of this, right? Don't be murdered by a baseball bat.
Yeah, I don't want
that. I understand that instinct.
Would it have killed him? I don't know if it was going that far. It would have hurt. It would have hurt for sure, but yeah, I mean, he was a big guy. He could have taken it.
I mean, we've all seen, what are those movies now? The ones where, like, you see, like, the roller coaster and then the car accident.
Oh, Final Destination?
Yeah, we've all seen Final Destination. Like, you never know.
I doubt Julio Rodriguez, who I think is 23, I doubt he has any idea what the Final Destination movie franchise is. Perhaps I'm assuming a little bit too much. No, he wasn't going to get killed by that.
Yeah, maybe that's how the next one should start. Like, if they're going to, like, bring back Final Destination,
but
like, start there.
You would have to have a lot of people get murked by said bat. And, I mean, it would have to be, I think, like a possessed bat.
Yeah.
Move around the timing.
I mean, you never know. People just fall down the stairs. Like, you know.
The duckout stairs or something. Jeez, you got a dark sense of humor today, Joe.
It's like a truck, like a Dick's Sporting Goods truck full of bats. Yeah.
See, I watched it this last week. I
was wondering where that
came. The bottom of it.
Yeah,
that
it was just all on TV, and I was like, yeah, why not?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes a little bit more sense. So you take a look at the Astros and what you're looking out of them for the rest of the year. I believe the magic number is now 9, and you got a 5-game lead on the Mariners. I mean, you're in great shape. This thing's pretty much done.
Yeah, if the Mariners, we talked about momentum yesterday. Like, now this is when you're losing games like this on back-to-back nights.
Oh, man, that's brutal.
It's just like your season's over.
Yeah. They have a 1.6 chance to win the division, a 1.5% chance to clinch a wild card spot. In total, 3.1% chance to make the playoffs. The Astros now at a 98.4% to win the division per FanGraphs. 5.5%, though, percent to clinch the bye. That dropped a lot. Yesterday, it was 12%. Mm-hmm. So they lost a lot. So I think the bye's over, too.
Yeah, it's the it probably just is at this point for the Astros, and then it's obviously over for the Mariners at this point. They have no shot to win this division. The way they lost that game and the day before, their season's over. For the Astros, I guess the bye's out of the picture, but that's okay. I'm kind of just ready now for like the AJ Hinch versus the Astros playoff series. I'm excited for it now.
You want to fast forward to it?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, September baseball blows.
I've been ready.
Let's just get to the playoffs. None of us want to be here, you know? Like, everybody else, they want to be here. The drama doesn't exist for us. We have expectations. The expectation is you're in the playoffs by right.
I mean, by Monday, it could be over by Monday. Like, basically over.
Yeah.
They might have to win they'll have to beat Seattle one time. So it could be totally over by Monday next week, and then it's like you have five more games left of just nothingness. You play the Angels four times at home. This thing is done. Like, there is no – on Monday, there was a little nervousness just because even though you came off a weekend sweep against the Angels, the Mariners were holding tough. Then you lost the game versus the Padres. But you've lost two of the three against the Padres, and your magic number has shrunk because the Mariners just can't get out of their own way.
You take care of business against the Angels. You win 3 of 4. It's at the Juice Box. You got Yusei tonight, Verlander on Friday, Blanco Saturday, Arrigetti Sunday. Take 3 of 4. I'm not concerned at all about the last two series of the year, and I feel like that actually helps the Astros and they can potentially load manage. But you got to take care of business in this series. In fact, a sweep would really just give you the biggest of legs up on the Mariners, and I guess you would sort of be back in the race with the Guardians, but it does feel like that bye is, it's a door that's been closed.
Yeah, I mean, you're 6 games back right now? That's a lot of, even though you play them the last 3 games of the season, that's a lot of ground to make up. I mean, would you even, okay, let's say they're within 3 games, but they've clinched the division. Would you rather them rest players and start to set up their playoff rotation, or would you rather them chase the bye?
Rest.
I think so, too.
Like, rest. It's such an uphill battle. You're not going to get it. You're not. You have a chance, I guess, but we all have a chance to win the lottery, too.
I mean, look what happened last night. Like, last night's the perfect example. Your ace dominates a team, and you lose because your offense can't score. Like, you could go into the Guardians series and ask Fromber to be excellent to win you a game, and he might do that. But one, bat comes flying your way. Or just, one ball falls into the Crawford box.
You're really a little too scared of the flying bat.
No. Just saying. And you lose, and it's all over. See, I just rest. Get to the point where you can give guys days off. Kyle Tucker, Jeremy Pena has played so many games this year. Jose Altuve, like, you're not healthy right now. They're getting healthier. But just get as healthy as you can before the playoffs. That's all that really matters at this point. Because they're going to win the division, and I have no more concern.
None.
None.
None at all.
No.
Not a worry in your heart.
Nope.
That's nice.
It's not a worry in the world.
That's where I've been already because it's September and the NFL is on.
The NFL is on.
College football is on as well. There was an interesting piece in The Athletic really quickly. Did you see Jose Altuve say that if it were up to me, I would pay Alex Bregman whatever I can?
I find that interesting because I don't think he's done that before. I don't remember an article from anyone about Altuve saying that about Correa.
He's talking about Crane's wallet now.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but like it's at least the tone feels different. Like in the past, like I'm sure he said like, yeah, we'd love to have Springer back. Like Springer's an Astro. Like he should be here. But this article I thought was more directive. Hey, I'm the captain of this team. You need to keep Alex Bregman as a Houston Astro. I found that very interesting.
Here's what Altuve said in this piece in The Athletic from Chandler Rome about Alex Bregman. Quote, I don't see any chances of him leaving. That might be just me. I think it is just you. I really think that at the end of the season, our front office people, GM, and ownership are going to get a deal done for him. I'm sure that we are not only a better team with him, but we are a better organization with him. We really need to make it happen. I am curious if Jim Crane listens to Jose Altuve. I mean, he is our favorite child.
Mm-hmm.
Is Daddy-O going to reward his favorite child a little bit more? I know they gave him the extension, but you could argue that's extension doesn't exactly give Altuve all that he could theoretically get, given what he has given to the city of Houston and to the game of baseball as well. So I wonder if Jim Crane hears this at all, or if he's just like, whatever. I hope that he listens. I would like to see Alex Bregman stay here. I realize it's probably going to cost a lot of money to do it, though, and that is probably over, just like the AL West is over.
Any chance that Jose Altuve, the reason why his contract was so affordable and so good, a little handshake agreement? I take a pay cut. I don't pay you. You don't pay me what I'm worth. I take another team-friendly deal. You pay Alex. Or at least that was the expectation when he signed the dotted line. Like, I think you have to listen to Jose Altuve. Would you rather listen to Jose Altuve and overpay Alex Bregman or listen to Jeff Bagwell? Jose Altuve.
There we go.
Jose Altuve should be the one making the shot, calling the shots, not Jeff Bagwell. So they should just pay Alex.
A couple of texts. One of them says, clean up an aisle, Paul. Magic number is 6. Sorry about that. I don't even remember what I said. From the 281, they are making a new Final Destination, Joe.
Awesome. Can't wait.
I suppose they can't tell what the accident is going to be, but I think there's 5 of them.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Is that going to be like a little field trip?
It could be.
I know in 2025 that we'll have to take one for, is that when the new Fast comes out, Fast 11?
Whoa. Hang
I'm
on.
Inviting myself.
I don't know.
Oh, no.
I don't know. That's a Sean and me thing.
I've also been rewatching that.
No, I
watched Fast 5 last night.
You watched it last night. That's fine. But
you're watching a lot of movies lately.
Listen, we're not like the Fast and Furious family, okay? We don't just welcome people in.
What are you talking about? Vince gets welcomed back in right before he gets killed.
Right, exactly. We're not like that. We're a little more exclusive.
I'm not a cop. I'm not a narc.
Look at that.
Why'd you bring it up?
Yeah,
and that that mustache tells a different story.
The mustache does.
You are 100% a cop.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. I can't really argue with that one. Right? I backed myself into a corner.
We're the crew in the first movie where Vince is, by the way, right the entire time, but somehow the bad guy. This guy is a cop. Why are you trusting him?
How do I become part of the family then? I'm going to need like a list of
When you
of
know, you'll know.
Yeah, okay. Just a quarter mile at a time. That's how you
Yeah, that's
respect.
All you can do. Exactly.
I felt like when we got to the point where you could look me in the eye and say that I'm dead to you, like, meant we were family.
No.
Okay.
No. In fact, you still are, but hey, another day, another dollar. Am I right? He's Joe, I'm Paul. We got Sean behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call to text. This NFL controversy involving CJ Stroud and Caleb Williams is so funny. Why is this such a big deal? I love it. It's turned into a chaotic bleep storm. We'll discuss the latest where CJ Stroud basically apologized yesterday. Stick around. But first, Joe George.
I want to talk to you guys about O Athletic, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights, oathletic.com. You can find them at O Athletic on Instagram as well. When you go to their website, you can see over 100 classes that they offer per week, and you can sign up for whatever you want to do. You want to do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you want to do agility training, weightlifting training, all different kinds of classes that you can take. And of course, you can sign up for a personal trainer as well. And that will work to your schedule, to whatever you want. If you want to do 1 day a week, 3 days a week, 5 days a week, you can do that. They'll find a trainer that fits your schedule, that will help you meet your goals. And they don't just work with you right then. They give you long-term advice. Like Cam has been great for me, the guy that I work with, because he's been helping me with diet, what to do at home when I can't make it to the gym on certain days. So it's always been a great experience working with him. I can't recommend it enough. Check it out, oathletic.com and 767 North Shepherd in the Heights.
ESPN 97.5. 4. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Comment on the Twitch, Mr. Brostash says, I say chase if you're 3 games back of the Guardians. I think it gets you into that playoff mentality ahead of the postseason. That Cleveland series could be treated like a playoff series in a way because you are playing for something with a purpose. You kind of are, but you're not. And then you have to play that BS wild card series right after if you don't make up the ground. So, okay, hey, I'm open to it if you're three games back, but do we think they're going to be three games back on that day? Because it would assume that they are going to probably win three of four. It assumes that they are going to probably sweep Seattle, which has given them issues in the past. Like, you're going to have to win a lot of the next seven to get to that point.
And you need the Guardians to lose a lot of the next seven.
Correct.
And you basically need to be, like, six out of, like, they need to lose every game. The Guardians are playing the Twins right now. Then they have five games before they play the Astros. So they need to lose a majority of those. And you need to win all your games. It feels just unrealistic that that's going to happen right now. Now, the way it's set up, you know, as of your, you know, your projected starting pitching, at least on ESPN.com, it sets up as the final three games of the season would be Verlander, Blanco, Eric Geddy. So if that's who you're going out there with, then you have Fromber and Hunter Brown to start game one and game two of the first three-game series versus the Tigers or the Twins, and then you would have JV probably available for that game on October 3rd, that game three, if you need it. So you can still chase it without moving your rotation around. At least that's the way it's set up right now. But I would just rest my guys and just say, we're gonna get through the first round and focus on what's next.
And it's just unrealistic to think it's going to be three games. They're 5.5 up. They're playing that last game against the Twins, and then before they play the Astros to end the year, they're playing the Cardinals, who stink, and the Reds, who are dead. So I feel like those are two things just to keep in mind. But hey, appreciate the thoughts, Mr. Brostash. You can also text and call in 713-780-3776. Or join us on Twitch at ESPN975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. I am really getting a kick out of a scandal that happened during a handshake between C.J. Stroud and Caleb Williams after the Texans beat the Bears 19-13 on Sunday night. If you haven't seen it, we played the audio yesterday, but TLD watch. Stroud goes up to Caleb afterwards, and Caleb seems annoyed. He wants to go into the locker room. Walks away, doesn't seem to be listening to C.J. Stroud. Stroud pulls Caleb back, and everybody has been overanalyzing the hell out of this back and forth, Joe.
Yeah, I can't believe that this is such a big deal. It seems really bizarre to me that, like, we have it's becoming a major topic. Everyone's talking about it. Like, it's all over national media.
It's one of those top stories on ESPN.com.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I guess that just shows that, like, football sometimes it gets in the weeds a little bit, and we got to find a story out of everything. And that's what this – look, you do have, you know, the number two overall pick from last year, the number one overall pick from this year, guys that were in the Heisman, you know, race together in college. C.J. Stroud dominated the NFL as a rookie, and Caleb – people have those expectations, so maybe that's what it is. Like I don't know if this was in a couple weeks and if this was Drake May. I don't know if it gets the same hype.
I think
around.
It would.
You think it would?
I think it would. I think it's two different things here. I think one, it's is C.J. Stroud good enough to be giving people advice? Two, it's is Caleb Williams an a-hole? Because a lot of people don't like Caleb Williams. I think it's these two dynamics have created an interesting conversation. I like sitting back and watching the chaos because I feel like Stroud, having played one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen from a quarterback, I feel like even if I'm the same age as him, if he's offering me advice, I'm at least going to be respectful when I hear it. Mm-hmm. I might be annoyed to hear it, but just given the setting, you know there's cameras everywhere, I would just listen. What's wrong with listening here? I get that you're the same age. I get that you beat him for the Heisman. But Stroud was awesome in a situation that wasn't very good, at least we thought, going into last year. Mm-hmm. So I don't see what the harm is in listening. But I also can see how some are looking at Stroud and saying, he's kind of acting like Coach K used to do, head coach of Duke, going into other teams' locker rooms to offer words of wisdom after they skull-bleeped them by 30 points.
Yeah, like if I was going to pick one to be more critical of, I think I would be more critical of Caleb here. I don't think CJ's trying to embarrass Caleb Williams or overstep his bounds. Like, I do think this would be a weird moment if this was CJ Stroud and I know he's not playing, but Tua. Like that would be strange, right? Even though CJ had great success his rookie year, if he tried to give those same exact words of encouragement to Tua.
Well, that definitely wouldn't happen.
Too. Exactly, though. Like, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think it's that weird. I also get why Caleb's upset. But if I was going to be more critical of one, I would be more critical of Caleb Williams here. Because you are in a position to where getting advice, free advice, good advice from people that have been through what you've gone through is a good thing for you. And just walking away with it like from like in that situation, you're potentially missing out on good things.
Before all of this turns into the hot take offs that we got courtesy of a variety of different people weighing in on this, including ourselves. This is what CJ Stroud had to say yesterday about this moment between he and Caleb Williams.
I had some of the best advice given to me last year. And, you know, me and Caleb, I was not trying to like treat him like I was trying to like little bro him or not. He knows that too. I have a ton of respect for him. I told him I had respect for him. But I had so many guys coming to me after games last year, and that meant the world to me. That those guys even thought about giving me advice. So I just try to give back to what the game has given to me. So I wish him the best, man. I want him to do amazing in this league. I think he will. I think that he'll get his groove. And once you get your rhythm, I didn't get my rhythm until like week three, week four. So I can see him, his game picking up from here. And so, and you know, I don't think he was trying to like, you know, be any towards way. He's just upset that they lost. I totally understand. So I have a ton of respect for that guy, man. I want him to do extremely well, just like any other guy until we play on that day. You know what I mean? And after the game, we can be cool. You know what I mean? But I'm definitely, you know, rooting for him and want to see him do extremely well.
Stroud is already one of the best in the game. He's also the same age as Caleb Williams. If you're going to talk to Caleb Williams and give him advice, maybe be a little less obvious with it. Because the advice that he gave him was don't get hit as much.
Yeah, criticize the advice. Wasn't that great?
The advice wasn't that great.
It wasn't like the best, like, hey, man, but is don't get hit.
But I truly believe CJ meant well there. Yes. I don't think that CJ was trying to be a jerk. And I also, in Caleb's defense, my God, it was a rough day. He got the absolute bejesus beaten out of him. 7 sacks, 11 QB hits, 20 pressures. He wanted to get out of there. And this is probably the last thing he wanted to hear is from somebody that's about the same age as him that was on the Heisman podium with him, where he, Caleb Williams, takes home the Heisman, not CJ Stroud.
It is a situation where if I am in CJ Stroud's shoes, I do not think I did anything wrong. I think he was earnestly just trying to give some words to Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I also, in Caleb Williams' shoes, completely understand just being like, all right, dude, all right, yep. Because in the clip, he gives a couple of the, yep, like when you're trying to end a conversation.
Yes.
When someone's talking to you.
And then it gets pulled back in.
Yeah. The comeback is, I really think that's where CJ, not overstepped, but that's where it made the clip more awkward.
100%.
Where Caleb Williams is obviously like, all right, cool, I'm done with this conversation. CJ's like, no, come here. You're going to be a great player one day.
And there's a couple of different reasons he might have told him to come here, because he might have felt like, hey, he hurt his feelings, like there was some beef or something like that. I don't think this was like, hey, you got to listen to me, person that's the same age as me. You got to listen. It wasn't that.
Yeah, it could just be like, hey, like in the moment, it's like, I think he needs like some more like reassurance here in the moment of yesterday was a disaster. That game was a disaster.
Yeah, it's like when you have like an awkward moment and then you keep trying to recover it and it only makes it a little bit more awkward. It's like a version of that where it was like, I don't really like where I left off. Hey, wait, come back. And now that has made it worse.
And you already, on top of all this, have, as he gets into the locker room, a pissed off DJ Moore who even weighed in and said, like, I probably should have toned it down a little bit during the game. And you have
call.
Roma Dunze's dad is posting clips of Roma Dunze being open the first couple of games.
I love that move.
So
I don't.
I love it from the dad.
It's a good dad.
Yeah.
He's a good dad. But this has blown up, and we got people in Chicago. Don't call him Bernstein.
What a loser.
Bernsey had, in at 670 The Score in Chicago, had Mike Florio on his show, and Florio and Bernsey took issue with CJ Stroud.
Did CJ Stroud become Tom Brady?
That's
he's not there yet. So I think it was just a weird thing all around. I think it's not C.J. Stroud's place to preach to a guy who's just 1 year behind him by way of experience. And from Caleb's perspective, you know, look, you just lost a game. You really, you don't want to hear it. But I wasn't surprised. I was disappointed, but I wasn't surprised that the knee-jerk reaction by most was, oh, who does Caleb think he is?
No, that wasn't my reaction at all. My reaction was, and I said,
who does CJ Stroud think he is? Yeah, that's exactly what Dan's reaction
we're
was.
We're the same age, man.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They're a year apart in NFL playing experience, but they're a month apart in actual age. And I think
they're more than a year apart. I think CJ Stroud is so much better than Caleb Williams right now. But that's just me. Perhaps I'm a little biased watching CJ Stroud on a weekly basis, Joe. I think the Chicago people, they're getting a little salty because Caleb is not what they all thought he would be because of the core of weapons that are around him this year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're trying to defend your guy. I just can't get over the fact of like the, you know, the guy. So it's the guy after Floro Talks who's talking about this. It's the same guy we played the audio from last week, in which he got upset at a guy from Barstool for calling him his last name.
Yes.
In which the show name is Bernstein and Holmes. Like, I find it terribly ironic that he's the one that's criticizing people for their actions when he's that much of a child himself. And honestly, just like a total, like, loony bin at this point.
Didn't they delete the post?
Yeah, and then they deleted the post.
They deleted this post, which was a good clip to get the show engagement, but I don't know, maybe because they're getting trolled so much by all the stoolies.
I don't know why they deleted it.
I'm guessing it had to do with them. They're being trolled a lot, and they're like, oh, great, now we got Houston on our ass, too. Jeez, this is the last thing we
Aren't
want.
Aren't these guys Astros fans? Like, we don't want these problems.
The Astros fans know it's September. They're sidetracked. They're like, oh, let's be Texans fans and bully this random Chicago radio host.
I will say,
we can't fight a war on two fronts here.
it was bully mode. It was bully mode time in Houston Twitter streets again yesterday. It was kind of nice to see it be the Texans being defended with honor instead of just the Astros.
Couple of texts from the 281. Does CJ just talk too much? That is an interesting question. I don't think it's possible for a quarterback to talk too much. I think all quarterbacks say pretty much the same thing. They're trying not to step on toes. I have really enjoyed what we have gotten out of CJ Stroud to this point, and I hope it continues because there will come a point where CJ Stroud is sick and tired of talking to us and says nothing. I get that some people are annoyed by what he says. I actually enjoy it. I think he's a thoughtful guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least he's interesting.
Yeah. More texts from the 713 and from the 832. Emotions high after a win or a loss. It's not CJ's job to offer advice. Just say good game and walk away. You're not a therapist, CJ.
Okay, but like, what is this from the other side? You know, happened in 2 weeks, and it was Matt Stafford who was doing this to Caleb Williams. Like, this is what veteran quarterbacks do.
Yeah.
So the real question is really just after a year, does CJ qualify?
How veteran are you?
Yeah, because like if Caleb walked away from Matt Stafford, there would be no defending Caleb Williams. He would be getting destroyed relentlessly. But because it's CJ, and he's only been in the league for a year, the question is more about, is Caleb in the wrong, or is CJ too young to be giving this advice?
I'll say it. He's veteran enough. I've seen some people pushing back like, oh, he can't. I'm sorry. He's light years ahead of Caleb Williams right now. He's light years ahead of pretty much all rookie quarterbacks in his second year. He is top five. Like, I don't think that's debatable. What's really interesting is how close to Mahomes do you want to say he is? I still think there's a pretty big gap between him. But I feel like CJ Stroud is closer to Patrick Mahomes than Caleb Williams is closer to CJ Stroud.
Not even close.
Yeah.
It's not even close. CJ Stroud he's like top three in MVP odds. He's top, you know, his team is top five in Super Bowl odds. They're plus 1,100 to win the Super Bowl this year. The Bears are probably like plus 25,000.
Caleb Williams hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet. I do wonder, and this is where we went on the Dell show. Can CJ Stroud do this to Anthony Richardson?
No.
Okay. He should.
Yeah, I was going to say, Caleb Williams has probably played more football games since high school than Anthony Richardson. Actually, he definitely has.
You said C.J. Stroud with Anthony Richardson. Caleb Williams with Anthony Richardson, you mean?
No, I mean C.J. Stroud doing that to Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, yeah, he can. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's played three games. Like he's.
Can he do it to Sam Darnold on Sunday?
I think Anthony Richardson could use a little obvious advice. Hey, don't miss wide open guys.
Stop taking
yards.
Hits.
Yeah, I mean, that would be funnier advice. Hey, guys. Just you should try to complete the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say, like, I mean, I think I said this yesterday. I do think Caleb, like, after the game, I hope there's more of a conversation. Because when you look at what Caleb went through in week two, getting sacked seven times, C.J. Stroud was sacked 11 times. Five times in week one. Six times in week two against the Colts as a rookie. Like, if he literally knows exactly what you're going through.
Yeah.
He lived it. Last year, it's not just that he was a rookie. It's in his first two games, he got his ass kicked up and down the field, and he didn't even win one of his first two games.
I'm with you there. From the 832, why does age matter when it comes to advice? I actually agree with this. I feel like every now and then, you can learn something from a young person. Now, some young people are exceptionally arrogant with how they talk to you.
Stop
no doubt about that.
Stop looking at me.
I'm older than both of you. I'm older than both of you. But,
you made eye contact. I'm talking about arrogant young people.
Whatever, Sean. What I'm trying to say here is that a young person can sometimes point out things that you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're someone who's curious, self-aware, reflective, are you just going to shut that out every single time? Sometimes it's warranted, but I don't think it always is. So I agree with that, Texter.
I mean, I just, you know, we should just try it out here. Like we should get everyone's takes on this, right? And then figure out, okay, which one responds the most to middle management Joe, who's 32 years old. Like I'm gonna talk to Granato, who's no offense, twice my age. See how that goes.
That's not happening.
Hey John, I really think when you're going in and out of break, you gotta be a little more crisp here.
John, you gotta be stop being so negative about Astros wins right after they happen.
Hey, John,
unless generally Lance,
let's try to follow the clock a little bit, huh?
No, I mean, the only one
that's
I would say
too
is,
far.
Hey guys, turn off your mic when you're coughing.
No, I like that.
I also like that.
I don't think they'll respond very well, you know, because maybe it'll depend.
If you want to weigh in on this, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. It's the new hit game that's sweeping the United States of America up next. How far is too far? Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back with Gallant and George.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
We got some more comments on that. On YouTube at ESPN Houston, talking about C.J. Stroud being too big bro with Caleb Williams. World of Warcraft Spartacus comments.
What a name!
At least that's what I assume it is. It's W-O-W Spartacus. Thing is, C.J. went through the exact same thing last year, being sacked a ton the first two games. Then stopped taking hits and was great. It's not like CJ can't relate to Caleb. That is true. We thought CJ was going to die the first two games of last year.
Mm-hmm.
We all thought that. He was getting killed, and he did become better about avoiding it. But I will say, I feel like it's not for lack of trying, Caleb Williams trying to evade pressure. He was trying his best. The Texans eventually just stopped respecting the Bears' game plan and said, we're just going to blitz and blitz and blitz some more.
And then they had no prayer against him in that game. They had no shot at all. So, you know, hey, you know what? He survived, though. That's what CJ should have said after the game. It was like, hey, man, at least you're alive. At least, you know, we've seen broken or busted spleens. I know that was in college football. But, like, you know, we've seen worse. Like, Caleb, at least you're alive.
From the 281, yo, don't get sacked. Great advice. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that.
Yeah, it wasn't the best advice.
It was don't get sacked and, hey, keep your head up. You'll be a great player one day. That is, again, from Caleb Williams' perspective, I get like, can I go? Can I leave now?
All right, guys, it's time to play the hit game that's sweeping America. It's a Joe George creation. It's called How Far Is Too Far?
Do you want to start with sports or non-sports?
Up to you.
We're going to go non-sports.
Non-sports first. Okay.
We find a topic and we see how far we can go.
I think that's too far, not sticking to sports.
Lame. All right. So there's this viral video going around right now of this nurse. And she's telling the story about how her food gets taken every single day from the fridge. And so she decided she was going to plant something in the food to find out which one of her coworkers was stealing her food. So I went down a YouTube rabbit hole of this. Okay, so I want to see how far is too far to find out if Paul Gallant, if someone is stealing your quinoa and turkey or whatever it is every day that you're eating, and you wanted to plant something on the interns to see which one was stealing your food, how far is too far? Putting habanero pepper in your food.
That would probably make it good.
Okay.
So that's not too far.
Ghost pepper then, I guess?
Too far.
That's
too far, yeah.
That's too far?
Yeah.
That's not even what she did.
What'd
she put laxatives. Is that too far?
Yeah, that's too
far. Is that too far?
That's too far.
But like every day your food gets stolen.
But then you don't get to eat your food though. Like there's got to be some days where the food doesn't get stolen.
What happens every day?
I think this one you walk in going, this is a bait day.
Yeah, I think you're like, I'm going to make something that looks extra good and put laxatives. So what about intentionally undercooking your food?
That's way worse than laxatives.
some
light salmonella.
But here's the thing: you're not going to find out who did it if you give him laxatives.
Yes, because you could see the other nurse. She has video of it, and the video is so funny.
Oh, she's...
of this nurse going back and forth to the bathroom.
The little desk that she's at is right in front of the restroom.
So it worked.
Yeah, so she could tell which one was running back and forth the whole shift and had to go home early.
Okay. Listen, I just keep it on me, and the reason I keep it on me is I freeze it too, so it's thawing a little bit. Then I put it in the microwave, my frozen buffalo, ground buffalo quinoa. Yeah,
I have seen that. That is like a typical radio issue. It hasn't happened here in a while though.
We had someone do it though before, right?
Yeah, back in my day,
taking a single bite.
Yeah, my first stint at Gal Media, an intern took a bite of Raheel's food and then put it back.
I respect the entitlement.
Which is a wild
man. Did you find out who it was?
Yeah, I don't remember the intern's name. But yeah, they figured it out. Yeah, they figured it out.
There wasn't a laxative situation.
Yeah, it happened when I was at iHeart, too. Where not with an intern, but an employee stole someone's lunch. And
just stole it.
Just stole it.
That's egregious.
I think that's a crazy one.
It is insane.
Like, here's a bad teammate. Bad teammate. You need CJ Stroud's advice.
You're a thief. You're probably a Californian because you think you won't get caught because it was less than $1,000.
Yeah, or you just won't get punished for it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now I have how far is too far. This is my own top 10 list for my Bryce Young power ranking, bust power rankings.
Okay.
Okay? So I have 10 busts.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to tell me if Bryce Young is more or less of a bust than this quarterback.
Okay.
It's quarterbacks only. Okay. And I also went with quarterbacks that were drafted in Mike. So, like, Akili Smith is not on this one because I don't remember him playing. Number 10.
It wasn't that long ago.
I know, but damn, I just don't remember it. Number 10. He's number 10 because he won a playoff game. Tim Tebow. Drafted number 25 overall.
Bryce is more of a bust.
Okay.
The expectations for Tebow were perhaps always overstated. I'm going to say right now, because he hasn't done anything, he's more of a bust than Tebow.
Johnny Football.
Less. Manziel's one of the worst.
He's picked number 22 in the draft.
But don't care.
I think Bryce has played more games than Johnny Manziel.
Manziel doesn't care. He never cared, doesn't care. Manziel's one of the biggest busts in NFL history. The lack of care.
I didn't realize I had Johnny Football too low on my list.
The lack of care is ridiculous for Manziel. Like, that's what bothers me about him. He truly did not give a damn about it.
He started 8 games in his career.
Yeah.
But I had him ranked 9 because he was drafted 22nd. So I feel like the difference between 22 and being picked first overall.
I get that. It's to me, it's more he just didn't care. And I'll respect someone who at the very least tries and isn't good enough. Someone who does not try, F yourself.
Okay.
I have no respect for Manziel. None.
Okay, well,
he's funny, but I have no respect for him.
Okay, so now I just feel like my list is wrong.
No,
at least according to you.
Keep going.
Joey Harrington. Number 3 overall. He started 76 games, which I did not realize.
Well, guys back then started like 4 seasons.
He started 76 games.
And then David Carr.
Still didn't bench him. So I'm going to say, hang on.
Oh, yeah.
So
Bryce is more of a bust?
Young is more of a bust than 100% Joey Harrington.
Okay. And Tim Tebow.
And Tim Tebow. And David Carr's the next one you're saying,
David
right?
Carr's next on my list. Started 79 games. Drafted to an expansion franchise. I mean, Carolina, basically.
Tony Boselli got hurt. You can make excuses for David Carr. Look, they benched Young after 1 year and for Andy Dalton. It's Carr has a Super Bowl ring as a backup. I'm Young is more of a bust than Carr.
David Carr went 7-9 as a starter.
Yeah.
Young is more of a bust.
Kay McCown, picked number 12 overall by the Bears.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't remember Cade McNown that well. I just remember it was quick.
Yeah, it was quick.
He set it out pretty quick. I'm going to say they're on the same level.
Okay. Matt Leinart.
There were so many expectations with Leinart, so Leinart's a bigger bust.
Okay. Josh Rosen. I think it's very similar to Leinart. Like, he was picked number 10 overall.
But Rosen wasn't Leinart. Leinart was a rock star.
Yeah. Leinart won a Heisman and then came back won titles, lost a title game. So, yeah, I think... Yeah, Rosen's less of a bust.
I'll say they're on the same level.
Okay. Trey Lance.
But Rosen was more unlikable, so I'll actually say Rosen more of a bust.
Okay. Trey Lance. He's only started 4 games. He's the number 3 overall pick.
He had some bad luck.
He's on his second team.
But you could argue Young had bad luck, too. I think they're on the same level.
Okay.
I'm sorry I'm saying the same level for a lot of these.
Who would you say? Would you say Trey Lance or Young?
I'd say, yeah, Lance is tough because he hasn't even gone on the field. Yeah. He hasn't been good enough to get on the field. And I get there is some bad luck that goes into that. But at least Bryce Young played. at least he had a year. So, yeah, give me Young is less of a bust than Trey Lance.
Final two. Is Bryce Young more of a bust than Ryan Leaf?
No. Yeah, Leaf, same thing. A-hole.
Yeah.
Didn't try. Still kind of an a-hole from what I hear. Yeah, Leaf is one of those guys who came in, thought he knew everything, clearly did not, did all sorts of dumb things off the field. At least Young's trying, and we haven't heard any of these things yet.
And then Jamarcus Russell.
Russell is the worst.
Yeah, Russell, I feel like he's...
Leaf, Russell, and Manziel, they just did not care. They didn't put in the work. No respect for you.
Yeah.
For Leaf and for Russell getting the guaranteed contracts, what they were back then. At least Manziel was, I think, the first couple of years of the new rookie contract system.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I mean, what's hard for me with Manziel and Tebow and why I put them at the back of the list is I don't think anyone besides the Broncos and Browns would have drafted them in the first round. Like, I just don't. It's almost like they shouldn't be on this list because Johnny should not have been taken in the first
round. I was going to say, they're bust because of what they were in college. Like, they're big college stars where they had kind of inflated expectations. But if you really thought about it, it's like, really, Tim Tebow? Like, you just watched Tim Tebow throw footballs, you're like, I do not have expectations for this guy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, as the Twitchers are saying, no Mitch Trubisky, no Justin Fields.
I mean, Mitch went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
As a starter.
Sure. Yeah.
Mitch is a Pro Bowler.
Okay. Is doing a lot of work there.
And you guys...
Mitch was a Pro Bowler.
Mitch made a Pro Bowl.
Justin Fields is still starting quarterback in the NFL.
There's a big asterisk. There's a big asterisk by both of them.
I got Cade McNown on here.
But you are right. You are right.
Rex Grossman or
someone
Bryce
saying,
Young?
It was the Super Bowl.
Sam Bradford, someone's saying. Bradford got paid a lot. Bradford was... overpaid.
Yeah, I think Bradford was the last big contract.
Yeah, I think he's the reason why it died.
Yeah, and the next guy was Cam Newton, and it's like, oh.
Bradford had a lot of contracts and got traded for a lot of valuable draft picks.
Yeah, Sam Bradford got traded for a first-round pick.
He got traded for a second-round pick after getting traded for a first-round pick. It's insane. Man, there's someone brought up Tim Couch. Man, there's another one I'm trying to think.
I feel like I could have just like made this list and been like, okay, which five are going to be Browns? Which five are going to be Bears?
just take them out.
Throw in a line or two.
It's like, hey, just like switch them in there a little bit.
This is on the table still. 713-780-3776. We'll just power through here. Okay. Interesting. point to make about the Houston Texans right now. You could argue that Kyahmi Fairbairn is their second best player.
Remember when everyone freaked out about his contract that O'Brien gave him?
Yeah.
I think that's a second best player. I have him in front of Nico or Stingley. I'm going to say yes.
He has now won AFC Special Teams Player of the Week 2 weeks in a row. So by default, he's going to be AFC Special Teams Player of the Month.
You're right.
You could argue that Kyahmi Fairbairn is better at his job relative to the rest of the NFL than everybody on the Texans roster, if we really want to go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Oh, is he a better? Is he?
Stroud is towards the top of quarterbacks, but where would most people rank him? Five.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Collins is showing he's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. But there's so many good wide receivers. Are we putting him above five yet?
Leads the league in receiving yards.
He does.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't disagree. But we're talking about relative to the rest. And I think that most people would still push back a little bit on Collins. Honestly, I'm starting to look the other way. That guy's so fast, so strong, so big, and smart, too. Clearly knows how to find the right spots in the defense. But while there's other good kickers in the NFL, like how many are better than Kyahmi Fairbairn?
Like the
Brandon Aubrey is the only one I can think of.
Yep.
Like with the Cowboys, and even then, I feel like it's a back and forth between the two.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because he's got such a boom.
I was gonna say Aubrey just has the length.
I mean, he was doing an interview today where he's like, I think he wants to try a 70-yard field goal in a game, and I think he can make it. I think he can make it.
I think both of them would have a chance of making it.
Yeah,
I want to see Kyahmi Fairbairn get an attempt of that long.
Yeah, I'd say, you know, Kyahmi's got to be top three at worst. I mean, he's better than Justin Tucker. Harrison Butker's still pretty good. So is Kyahmi Fairbairn the second best Texan on the team?
The thing is with Butker being a devout Catholic is going to be held against him like it's the 50s or whatever. So the people will not agree with that, even though they are probably right. Butker has been very consistent over the course of his career.
Yeah, I'll ride with you on this one, Paul. I'll go with it. Kyahmi Fairbairn, number two player on the Houston Texans.
Yeah. I'm look. I
maybe should be number one.
The only way I know how to look up who the best kickers are or who it has been is just to go to the fantasy app and look who's the leading the scoring, because that takes into account the distance. And it's literally Aubrey, number one, Fairbairn, number two. And then Chris Boswell, because he made a million field goals for the Steelers.
He did make a lot.
Jake Moody.
Mm.
Unbelievably, CBS Sports apparently does this. They rank the top kickers in the NFL.
Oh, wow. Every week?
I don't know if it's weekly or like. I mean, I know we need football content, but like, I don't know.
Surely this is not getting the clicks.
Like you think it's going to. They've got Kyahmi at five. If Butker one, Aubrey two, Chris Boswell from the Steelers three.
Oh, get the hell out of
here. They still have Justin Tucker number four, and then they have Kyahmi five.
Oh, you got it. Tucker's out. Tucker's out.
This list is bad.
Tucker is out.
I think we have a top three.
I like Tucker, but he is out.
I think we have a top three with Aubrey, Fairbairn, Boswell.
There we go. There we go, guys. All right. Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We heard from Astros GM Dana Brown today. And is there any chance that Jim Crane will listen to Jose Altuve? Those are on the table. Stick around, Gallant and George.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.